head and call us to order. All right. Joseph, if you'd like to call the roll. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Anderson.
Here.
Ms. Blakeman.
Here.
Ms. Hart.
Here.
Mr. Ledoux.
Here.
Mr. Lansford.
Here.
Mr. Malik.
Here.
Ms. Pearson. Ms. Sandler.
Okay. All right. So our first item on the agenda is to approve the agenda. And for those in the audience today, we will have an opportunity for public comment on the agenda at the end, where we have general public comment. But there is also an opportunity for public comment on each action item. And there's just a, I will call for that at each time. So just to let everyone know. So first we will approve the agenda. Does anyone have a motion?
So moved to approve the agenda.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Do we have any? Yes. Do you have a question about the agenda? Oh, sorry. Okay. Okay. All right. Do we have any questions about the agenda from the board? Okay. Any comments from the audience about the agenda? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Okay. Next we have the minutes, the regular meeting minutes of July 16th.
Second.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the board about the minutes? Okay. Any comments from the audience about the minutes? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Okay. Next we have the director's report.
Hey, good evening, everyone. I have just a couple of quick updates I'd like to share. First things first, Friday night programming has been going very well. We're seeing great attendance in both our adult programs as well as our children programs on Friday nights from the kind of 6 to 9 time frame. Also, we're seeing great attendance in the studio and throughout the building. We anticipate that that will only continue as the students are back and wanting to study on the second floor and things like that. So it's been going very well. Also mentioned in the director's report was a reference to expanding our Mother Goose on the Loose program with a grant from United Way's Women United. So this is about a $4,000 grant that will enable Mother Goose to purchase giveaway books and provide programming to school-aged children who are visiting, who are going to after-school care at our current partner site locations. Many of these children were already exposed to Mother Goose on the Loose during their preschool time and had since aged out of our existing program. But with this support, we'll be able to continue that literacy engagement into their next level of school age support. So we're very excited to be able to offer that. I also just want to highlight, as part of the director's report, references to Saturday story times that will be starting in the fall at Maine, as well as evening story times called pajama story times that will be happening at the Douglas Branch location. And we're very excited to offer these, as this was part of the feedback that we heard in the strategic plan for providing opportunities for parents and kids for literacy engagement in story times that were outside of the normal workday week, right? Where it's, you know, the mornings of the weekdays. Well, if you're a working parent, that's not necessarily feasible. So now we have those evening opportunities and weekend opportunities. So we're really thrilled to be here. It's our team. Yes, they've got great plans for it. So it's going to be wonderful. And with that, I'd like to welcome Leo Wester, our marketing manager, to take us through our presentation for upcoming fall programs and events.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Like Brittany said, I'm Leo Wester. I'm the marketing manager here at the Champaign Public Library, and I am really excited to share with you our upcoming season of programs. September is Library Card Sign-Up Month. We will be running a special promotion that includes a free cafe drink coupon with a new card sign up or renewal. And a chance to pose with our giant library card at the main library.
Aww.
We have an exciting collaboration this month for Unbooked Puzzle Piece on September 19th. The Friend Shop will be open for a special puzzle pop-up sale from 6 to 8 p.m. as a part of the Unbooked programming. They will have a special collection of puzzles and puzzle-related books available to browse and purchase. This fall's reading challenge theme is Dynamite Readers. Children and teens can log their reading in the Beanstack app or on a paper log available online or in person, both at the main library and Douglas Branch Library. We are thrilled to be welcoming Shelby Van Pelt as this fall's great author at the library. Her debut novel, Remarkably Bright Creatures, was an instant New York Times bestseller and a Read with Jenna Today book club pick. Remarkably Bright Creatures has sold over a million copies. Buzz has already begun in the community with excitement over Shelby's visit, and a local book club group on Instagram has already decided to read her book ahead of her visit in October. Comments include, "Can't wait, I adored this book, this is so exciting," and "Wow, such a good book, how awesome for our community." We have also enjoyed Adrian Binky Donnelly's creation, Coral Connections, in our lobby, and we will continue to have it on display throughout Shelby Van Pelt's visit in October. This fall community job fair on September 15th includes over 20 area employers and career resources on site. Attendees will have a chance to win a new Chromebook or a gift card to Macy's for new interview attire. And in celebration of Illinois Manufacturing Month, the Champaign County EDC will also be hosting another manufacturing job fair 2 weeks following, bringing abundant opportunities to the library for job seekers in our community. We have even more exciting business and career events this fall, including networking events, small business workshops, an insightful lineup of career lunch and learns, and a professional headshot session with local photographer Chloe Rose. Our career help drop-in hours continue on the first weekend, Wednesdays of the month, and we have some great workshops later in the season for nonprofits, including putting your strategic plan into action and logo like a pro. Get your business and career-related questions answered at the Douglas Branch on the first Tuesday of the month. Hosted by our career librarian Kat Purcell and business specialist Lauren Gramley, this walk-in event continues through the fall. Our Money Matters series will start up again this fall at the main library after a summer series at the Douglas Branch. Topics will include solar energy for the home, divorce questions answered, and financial self-care. On October 15th, we will be hosting a Medicare Q&A with Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. Then, beginning on October 21st, Nicole Mitchell, Senior Services Specialist for Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, will be available on Tuesdays through December 2nd from 1 to 5 p.m. by appointment to answer customer questions about Medicare's open enrollment. Now that school is back in session, Teen Lounge has returned in full force. It has been great to see students and volunteers in the studio crafting, learning, and having lots of fun. Speaking of the studio, our extended drop-in hours have been so well received and will continue through the fall from 5 to 8 p.m. on Thursdays and Fridays with a beginner-friendly craft on Fridays to make at your own pace. The studio will also continue its workshop series with Intro to Cricut, Glow Forge, and Sewing. Also for the creative adults in our community, Yarn and Shenanigans continues at 6 p.m. on the first and third Mondays of the month at Douglas Branch. Our crafty adults workshops include cookies and canvases with Paula McCarty, watercolor winter landscapes, and more. Coffee and a Craft will continue at Douglas Branch and includes Black Blue Art and Pumpkin Spice Sugar Scrub. And then we'll be welcoming in the festive holiday season with yarn ornaments in November and sequined ornaments in December. The Makerspace at Douglas Branch continues their all-ages drop-in hours on the first and third Saturdays of the month, as well as the Makerspace introductory workshops to Cricut, Sewing, and Glow Forge. Our writers' workshops this fall are jam-packed with great topics and presenters like Finishing Your Story with Jeanette Watts and Writing and Arranging a Short Story Collection with Ektik R. Garg. Friday night jam sessions continue the last Friday of the month at Douglas Branch. If you haven't yet attended a Friday night jam session, it is an evening full of food, fun, creative expression, and great music. So I encourage you. Cover to Cover Book Club has an interesting lineup this fall season, including What You Are Looking For Is in the Library by Michiko Aoyama, The Message by Ta-Nehisi Coates, Wandering Stars by Tommy Orange, and Anxious People by Frederick Bachman. Illinois Library Presents has released a great series of speakers, including virtual visits with Steve Burns of Blue's Clues, Marissa Bode from the 2024 movie Wicked, and A Journey Through Food and Science with Kenji Lopez-Halt. Table Talk Book Club at the Douglas Branch will be reading and discussing some great books this fall, including a personal reading list contender of mine, Dream Counts by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, as well as Ella by Diane Richards, Good Dirt by Charmaine Wilkerson, and The Many Lives of Mama Love by Laura Love Hardin. Tuesdays at 10 line up for the fall will feature a six-week series on the Santa Fe Trail with Fred Christensen, The History and Philosophy of Science with Dr. Cynthia D'Angelo, Understanding Human Cognition with Dr. Sam Engblom, and Preserving Memories and Digitizing Media with David Needham. And if you find this particular topic of preserving and digitizing media interesting, David will be here later in October to teach a specialty tech workshop on how to scan and digitize your physical media. Tech workshops will continue monthly through the fall, introducing a couple of new themes to their workshop rotation, including Intro to Your Digital Footprint, as well as Intro to Artificial Intelligence. We will also have an exciting and practical winter-themed specialty tech workshop with instructor Liza Winnett on creating digital cards with Adobe Illustrator just in time for the winter holidays. This fall, we will also have some wonderful all-ages events, including genomics activities with Illinois scientists from the Institute of Genomic Biology, and racing to complete a 500-piece puzzle at Puzzle Race. Club Fred starts back up on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays in the Makerspace at Douglas Branch, and DIY Kids continues throughout the fall season with some incredible do-it-yourself activities. Speaking of incredible activities, the upcoming spooky season has inspired all kinds of creepy crafts, free Halloween and autumnal books for at-home libraries, Halloween spooktacular fun for kids, costume parades, special story times, and an evening of unbooked Halloween trivia. Evening and weekend story times were part of a specific request from community members during our strategic planning process. So we are happy to announce that we'll be adding new story times to our event calendar beginning the first week of September. So in addition to existing story times at the Douglas Branch and Main Library, as well as our monthly sensory-friendly story time and our Mother Goose on the Loose story times, we will be introducing a pajama story time at Douglas Branch on the first and third Tuesdays of the month, as well as two sessions of Saturday story time at the Main Library. We know these story times will provide new opportunities for learning, creativity, and early literacy development for the children in our community. Some other great family-centered events we have on the rotation this fall include Helping Parents Help Kids with Their Big Feelings, presented by the Family Resiliency Center. Family Fun Night on Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. with some special activities like family yoga, fun with fossils, and a woodland creatures presentation with Ackman Wildlife Adventure, as well as Lego Club on the second Saturdays of the month at 3 p.m. Unbooked Kids continues throughout this fall with drop-in activities on Friday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. It has truly been a time full of wonder, imagination, and so much fun. The library will also be celebrating all things Dino during the week of November 16th through the 22nd. We will be having a Dino-vember party full of Dino-themed puzzles and games, a prehistoric make and take project, and a Jurassic scavenger hunt. Later in the season, we will also host a paper bag gingerbread house building workshop for all ages. And we're looking forward to seeing the amazing artwork from Unit 4 students for our Art Connection Schools to Library Partnership in November. And of course, if you were attending the Art Connection opening reception, or if you find yourself on a lower level while the Friend Shop is open, make sure to see what kind of sale they are running, like 50% off kids and teens titles during November. And on December 3rd, Brian Barnhart, host of WDWS radio show A Penny for Your Thoughts, will be doing a special live broadcast here from at the library. He'll be interviewing Library Director Brittany Millington and others as we approach the library's 150th anniversary, so stay tuned for more details. We are looking forward to an autumn full of fun with our community. Thank you. Are there any questions?
October.
Creature.
Yes.
Are you having any creatures brought over, like box turtles or anything, from the Amita Purvis Center
for
people to touch and stuff?
I believe so. There will be a presentation on the animals. I know I've heard that they'll have maybe some amphibians and some mammals like hedgehogs and, you know, smaller animals. So they'll do a presentation first, and then they'll have a quiet, special calm time for customers to interact with the animals if they wish.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Yes. On the Tuesday evenings, beginning on October 21st, the Medicare talk, since Health Alliance is closing down in January, and then people on Health Alliance Medicare Advantage will be getting a letter at that time regarding that. Is this program to cover Medicare Advantage, or is this for initial applications for Medicare?
That's a good question.
It would be for the initial applications. For those, it would be for the initial applications during open enrollment. But she does, the nice thing about Nicole Mitchell, she can answer everyone's questions. Because sometimes we have people also who are retired from the universities as well, so she is very knowledgeable in all the topics.
She's from Champaign County.
Champaign County Healthcare.
Yeah, they're great. They're really, really good. Great resource.
Good.
That's a big loss for the community.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Health Alliance.
Yeah.
It really sucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Have we ever done this presentation, like these presentations on like CGTV? Like, is that possible?
That's a great question.
It's so compact and like you give a lot of really good information and get people excited about things. I'm wondering if that
is a really good question.
Yeah.
We should have recorded
CI
Living.
We're in conversations with them about this information as well as some of our business and career recorded material as well.
And it's interesting. So we do have staff who will go to CI Living and do segments and talk about this. But yeah, we've kind of talked about how we might get some of our content on. But I think it would be great to record the
seriously.
So many notes. Like, oh, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Love to
do
it.
Great. That's great.
Thank you.
Love it.
Anything else?
That was a lot.
Thank you, Lee.
Yeah.
It was
a lot.
The full season.
Very impressive.
All right. Well, thank you all. Thank you.
Okay. Our next item on the agenda is the revised fiscal year 26 adopted budget.
And I will just turn it to Jen.
Budget season again. So the rebudget that we do this time of year is basically we examine any funds we have remaining from last year. And make sure we distribute those out in the current year budget to make sure we're utilizing everything we have. So starting with the operating budget, we saw a year-end savings of about $385,000. Also that's due to some increases in tax revenue, interest, and some savings in personnel and contractual expenses. We're planning to rebudget the bulk of that savings to our capital fund, and I'll mention a little bit more what we're planning to do with those funds. We also saw slight insurance increase just due to some new information we've got regarding premiums, as well as an increase to our maintenance line to accommodate some expense related to our HVAC system. Mm-hmm. We saw some repair work needed there. The rebudget keeps actually our fund balance right at that 32.16, yes, percent, which falls within the guidelines we see about trying to keep it between 25% and 35%. So we're just basically taking everything we saved and distributing it to those areas. If you flip a couple of pages to the capital line, that's where we're going to see the most activity. We are moving about $300,000 to the capital fund from our year-end savings. This is to facilitate a handful of capital projects we kind of had on the back burner that we're able to move up the timeline, and we think that's really great. One would be a refresh of the technology available to use in the meeting rooms down on the first floor and meeting rooms A, B, and C. That is a pretty big project, and we're fortunate we're able to fund that right now. That was called out, I think, in the strategic plan as well. And we are also looking to upgrade and expand the work area in the Children's Services Department. We've had some new staff, and we're going to work to build in some space for those people. And then some new equipment that has been on the list for a while, some new carpet cleaning, some new chairs in the conference rooms on the second floor, and also an upgrade to the website for some ADA compatibility requirements. Moving on to the gift fund, Fund 704. It's not in numerical order on my memo, I apologize. Just a couple of increases there to distribute some additional earnings we saw at the end of the year towards materials to help decrease those hold lines on Libby. And I've actually seen the benefit of that pretty quickly. It caught up to me really fast.
Yeah, I got a hold today that Cape Fear Vivid Obstacle, yep. They just must have gotten a little more. It was like a 6 month hold.
It's a fun surprise.
Yeah.
And then we also increased our grade author budget a little bit to accommodate an author in 2026. So we'll start seeing deposits for. So it's very exciting. And then I have to flip my page. For Fund 705, the CAFE fund, we adjusted the sales actually down just a little bit because we think with the bamboo flooring project in the fall winter, we might see some decreased traffic there. So we wanted to make sure we could continue to operate. And you know, I did increase our fund transfer just in case they saw some slower sales than normal. And then for CAFE Fund 712, the per capita grant fund, just an $800 adjustment based on the number we received. We did get the per capita grant. We actually received that check. So it was just slightly lower than the prior year. We usually just budget what we received the year before. So I just adjusted it down a little bit to match that. And then, apologies, back to Fund 703. I will make sure this is numerical next time. For the 27th pay period, actually, you don't even need to flip pages. I didn't change. Otherwise, the attached documents are the revised proposed budget. It will be an approval going to City Council in September for approval. Okay.
So for this one, we need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the board about the revised budget? Any comments from the audience about the revised budget? And we have a lot of staff here. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Okay. All right. Now we have the 2024-25 IPLAR.
So this is the annual report that we are required to submit to the state. We do this every year. I would say there aren't necessarily significant adjustments from last year to this year's reporting statistics. However, there were a few adjustments on the actual form itself. You had a copy electronically. If you were interested in flipping through a paper copy, there are a few binders. But otherwise, there's not too much to share that's different than what we've discussed in our statistics presentation last month.
So for this again, we would need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Do you have any questions from the board about this item? Any comments from the audience about this item? Okay. All those in favor? Aye. And opposed. Okay. Next are financial reports, and we will start with the check register.
July was the month of repairs. not big repairs, but just some catch-up work. If you look at the first page of the check register, you can see a check for $8,778 for some sidewalk repair that we did just to fix some cracks. And then on page 4, near the middle-ish, it's $2,000 to free garage doors for a replacement door for our loading dock. And then also we saw a lot of our, as I mentioned in June, we have a lot of annual subscriptions and things that come through. We saw several more in July. You can see on page 4 also the 11,463 to Morningstar is one of our databases that we have available, as well as on page 5, six is our IHLS, our Illinois Heartland system. That is another one of those. And then on page 5, Sumo WebWorks for $10,000 is an IT web. That's our website, I believe. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Okay, that's the check register. Can you explain more of the web part?
That is
the website, Sumo, would
you be able to? Yes, so Sumo is, they maintain our website. We are working with them on a website refresh and upgrade. We have requirements for ADA accessibility that we need to meet by April of 2026. And it would be, Amy's not here this evening, but our technology manager, but it's pretty involved work. She's been working with them for a couple of months to gauge the scope of the work. And we feel very confident that we'll be able to manage the requirements in an upgrade and refresh rather than a complete redesign. So we had talked about ADA accessibility for the website as part of the strategic plan. It was something we were cognizant of, and this will be our opportunity to work on that piece without a full website redesign, but it's possible that could be one day in the future, a few years down the road.
So is that to make sure that the website is,
accessible.
Which version of WCAG it is, but it's like WCAG 5.2, I don't know.
Yes.
Bit.
And so
and
the city
Sumo
is working on something very similar with their website too. Yeah.
I have one more question. When was the last time we had a full website design?
That's a good question.
Have we been keeping up with
We keep up, and we do incremental work on the website so that way it's relevant, and we do regular spot checks, you know, to make sure that we don't have dead links or that we don't have outdated pages with outdated information. But in terms of a full redesign, I don't think that we've had one since I've been here, and I've been here 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this refresh will include some redesign of like the toolbar, like the taskbar up at the top and things like that for the tabs, as well as, you know, taking care of any PDFs that would need to be ADA compliant, any color changes, things like that. But I don't believe that we've had a full like overhaul redesign.
No, we haven't.
Not since
it's never been an issue, you know, before. Now, like you said.
Well, the ADA compliance is it is a, you know, federal. All government websites have to be ADA compliant, but the requirements are continually updated. I've been through an ADA audit for a website when I was with the county, and then have worked on those projects with the state.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredibly involved to keep the websites compliant with the ADA request. It's not just, it's a lot of things like the colors that you use. So it's so that a person who is blind or low vision can access the website. So can a screen reader, is it going in the right order?
Captions
when they're,
or photos.
Are the caption,
yeah.
It's, and it's not just the captions, but then the visual
description.
Yeah, it's a little even beyond that now, but PDFs especially, we've had to have at the state and the judicial branch, we have an entire We have a whole person who is dedicated, who has like gone through a certification process to make all of our PDFs accessible.
City as well, right?
So there is a committee at the city
that includes our technology manager, where they're talking about those requirements and what all we need to do. And then we're very fortunate that Sumo is able to work with us to help us.
There are only some
changes.
Organizations that are experienced in making government websites accessible. So
the library maintain the website, or is that something that we have like a company like Sumo do? Like, for example, if you need to add a new page or add a new PDF,
I'm sure there's a content.
We can do a lot of those functions ourselves, but yes, when we need to do like a full scale, because we only have a few staff who have that layer of expertise.
Yeah.
So if we need to do something much bigger, then we can utilize their services similar to what we're doing with this. But on a smaller scale where we're just making a few updates here and there, we can definitely do that in-house.
Okay.
These are great questions.
Yeah. It's a big project.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for this item, we would need a motion to file.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Do we have any additional comments or questions from the board about the check register? Any comments from the audience about the check register? All right, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed. All right, next we have the financial statements.
We'll start with operating. We received, if you know the revenue, we received our first installment of the corporate replacement tax for $20,746.38. They just released updated 2026 rate projections, and it looks like our budget's right on target for that. So, seeing some great interest revenue still. We've got a nice high balance, so we're seeing some nice high interest. For expense, everything just tracking along. 1 month of expense looking just how I like it. So, we'll keep watching. If you move over to capital, the next page on the back, we already discussed a little bit in the library computer equipment line, the website redesign. We're starting to see some deposits for that, as well as some purchases of some new servers that needed to be replaced, as well as some computers for new staff members. So the bulk of our expenditure was there this month. On the next page is the cafe fund. And I want to point out that their sales were, according to my math, almost 20% higher than this point last year, which in a summer month is pretty impressive. Usually we see some loss in the summer and we end up scooping a little bit of a profit. So that's great. We can continue to build. I also wanted to point out that we're consistently seeing that event sales, the catering for events is going up, and that's a direct result of opening up the studio and opening up those meeting rooms, and people are using them and increasing the demand for catering. It's been a really good look for the community. Moving on to the next page, the per capita grant. No activity in July, but as I mentioned, we just received the check for the per capita grant last week, which is very, very exciting. And we will start spending it down starting now. And then moving on to the 27 pay period fund, nothing happening there but interest. On the general grant fund, this one looks a little bit funny because it looks like we lost revenue, but we had accrued the revenue for the end of the year so we had a receivable, and I just reversed that out so that it's ready for that to happen this year. We have our second quarterly report was approved. The check is at the city, and we will be depositing it tomorrow. So that'll be closing out the DCEO grant, and I think we have one more report to finalize that process, and then this one will be done for a while. So it's very exciting. And that is all I have for the financial reports.
Okay. So for this one, we need a motion to accept.
Second.
Okay. All right. Do we have any questions or comments from the board about the financial statements? Okay. Any comments? comments from the audience about the financial statements? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Okay. Next, we have our committee and liaison reports. So, foundation.
Really not much to report, except we're moving ahead with the approval of the campaign brochure. What would you call it?
Yes, the campaign literature. It's a 12-page brochure, which we will share with this board next month.
It's regarding the 150th anniversary fund development. We have a goal of $3 million, and things seem to be on track. I think the write-up, the mock-up that's going to be approved is quite well done, very professional. So.
Big thank you to Leah.
I agree. Great work, Leah.
Yeah. So that's it as far as fun.
Okay. And City Council.
Well, I don't have a ton terribly relevant to the library, but I can say that we did approve the contract for the housing study, and we recently approved a plan to have rental property owners register their properties.
What does that mean exactly?
So essentially, the city has been having a lot of trouble getting a hold of vacant property owners, and so that causes lots of problems. You can imagine,
yeah.
When there's a fire, you don't have anyone to contact.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those kinds of owners do not live locally, and so that makes it really difficult. So we're hopeful that this will start to help us have some more contacts. The contacts. The idea is that folks should list a local contact, so whoever that is, their property manager, their neighbor, their whomever we can contact that can get a hold of, that we can get a hold of quickly. That's really the idea.
These things are hidden ownerships almost.
Yes.
And they just aren't available at all, and they don't have a single person to get a hold of.
Uh-huh.
They have a series of hides. I would call them.
And there have been a huge increase in the number of LLCs.
Yes.
I think a lot of people have understood the protections that LLCs are giving them, and so then we've seen an increase. You know, even private owners who maybe weren't as familiar are now becoming more familiar with things like LLCs that do provide them some protections, but create a very difficult situation for us as a city in order to be responsive to emergencies.
So it's a wall.
Yeah.
The wall is
right.
Blocking communication. A lot of the owners live in New York, for these buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And friends?
There's not much really with respect to them. They did not meet this month.
Okay.
And I was unable to attend last month, so I have nothing to relate to friends. We're still on friendly terms.
Okay. Okay. But things are going well with friends. But okay. All right. Now it is the time for our general public comment. So the board now invites public comment. Public comment is an opportunity for the board to listen to community concerns. We treat the matters raised at public comment seriously, and in the interest of responding thoughtfully, it is the board's standard practice not to engage in back and forth exchanges or to respond on the spot. Rather, we listen carefully, take comments under consideration, and follow up with thorough research so that the board or library staff can make an informed response at an appropriate time. Each person is allotted 5 minutes to speak, and we request that each speaker state their name and city of residence and prior to speaking. So we now invite any community member in attendance to participate. I know we have. Well, thank you for everyone for being here. Okay, next we have comments from the board. Do we have any comments?
It's good to see a full board.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm really proud to be a part of this board, and today makes me even more prouder that the hours we utilize to accommodate families different times from the meeting. As you know, we have lots of working families in our community.
with the participation at Juneteenth and with the Champagne Banner Day, the books you gave out, even hard copies. The kids just absolutely went bonkers over those hard copies. It's a hard copy. It's got a chapter book. So they were very, very, and I can tell you really made some really good choices, you know, with who you had in mind with the children. So you being there with your smiling faces and so receptive, seriously, people read your expressions and they saw caring, hoping, and all of that. That was wonderful. So thank you so much. Thank you. You were there.
Yeah, I didn't see you though. I saw Lucretia.
No, no, no. This is at Juneteenth and Yeah, because I got some good books too that I kind of gifted to the kids. Yes, I do.
You have photographic evidence of me.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I took lots of pictures and I bragged a lot, and people say, "You pulling up the pictures again?" Well, yes, I
would. You were dancing.
Well, at Juneteenth, I didn't do too much dance because I just kind of, you know. But I did see the kids. Yeah, so yes, it was wonderful. It is good to see a community effort on those, especially during that time, you know. And so people see you and they know you care, and it took a lot of effort to, you know, to move all your stuff over there and get it back and all of that. So it was wonderful. And it was so well attended. It was like, seriously, and this is, I'm not kidding, this was like a little family reunion.
It was.
For Juneteenth.
Yes, yes. It was just, I can't get over how well it went. Represented by the mayor was there, and people were there, they were talking, and it was just like, I haven't seen you in a long time, and this and that and the other, and how's the kids? And so it was wonderful, seriously. So keep up that community morale and caring. It goes a long way, it does. And Douglas is such a good park, it's such a good area. And there's no need for, you know, staying away. I mean, this is a community, and it's not, shouldn't be divided. So it's wonderful. Thank you.
Well, I will add with the back to school, just want to say thank you again to staff for the summer reading program. All three of my kids met their summer reading goals and were very excited about their incentives. My youngest, especially the books about, I know what the series is called. It's about the, like, it, what if you had animal hair or if you had animal, they are incredibly popular, and it was a new one that she had not seen.
Wow.
She is 7. It is, listen, that is a big deal. So she was really excited about that one. All three kids met their summer reading goals, and, you know, I'm sure everyone who's a parent knows how difficult it is these days to get your kids to read sometimes instead of devices, and just want to say thank you again. And I also now have another child coming here after school every day, so coming from Jefferson instead of Edison, because our school feeder schools have swapped, but coming directly from Jefferson and having a great time.
How does she get there?
She takes the MTD, so it is a really nice combination of she rides with some friends who have older siblings who are already at Jefferson, who are they're coming over in a group of kids. But the MTD pulls up right in the Circle Drive at Jefferson and drops them off right here.
What's so special?
Well, I mean, they can't tell other people not to be on the bus, but I don't think people who are trying to get somewhere are really wanting to wait in a line with a bunch of middle schoolers in the... But it comes directly here, and it's working great. So it's building also, I think, a nice controlled independence.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's nice that they're in a group.
Yes. I won't let her go by herself, but if she's going with her friends who have older siblings who are coming, and they just use their school ID as their bus pass. So, yeah, so they don't have to pay for it. It is part, it's all worked out with MTD and the school district, so... It is fantastic.
Has that affected?
Well, I gave Brittany a heads up when I said, Juliana said that they announced the bus number in
And I will say, this has been standing for a long time. We've had staff whose children have taken the bus from Jefferson, and it drops off right over there near Edison, and then they come into the library. So our numbers for attendance after school are nice and strong. We're seeing about 240 kiddos, not all at the same time. So again, you know, even if a bus comes 15 minutes later with 20 or 30 kids, you know, by that point, we've maybe had some kids whose parents are picking them up after they were just here for 15 or 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it sort of just ebbs and flows. So nothing has been too challenging.
So discipline is pretty good, I mean.
This is a great group of kids.
Wow.
It's been a great group of kids so far.
Yeah.
I think everyone has just been marveled at this.
So you haven't had to have a monitor on the bus?
A monitor on the bus?
Yeah, on the school buses, you know, they have a monitor.
Yeah.
So there's, it's not a school bus, it's just the MTD.
I know, but this sounds like a school to library function.
It's not our partnership, it's actually with MTD in Unit 4, mm-hmm. So, but I'm not sure if they provide a monitor on their bus.
I don't know.
They do not.
Okay, no.
As far as I know.
There's no monitor on the MTD bus.
No.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
There's no monitor on the MTD.
The school buses do,
and I'm thinking in terms of its transfer from Jefferson to Edison.
Oh.
Yeah. So they do, they give them some tips on how to behave and how to navigate the bus. They tell them what to do.
That's important.
And I think those are great skills for kids to learn, learning how to navigate public transportation, and it's all good stuff. So anyway, that's a little off topic, but I just want to say thank you again for all of to staff. Like, things are going really well after school, and at least from what I'm, you know, I continue to hear from my kiddo and some reading programs, all great. So just wanted to say thank you. Any other comments from the board? Okay, our next meeting is September 17th, and that is at Douglas Branch. So I just want to put it, I know, like, I'm just seeing that now, like, oh, we did it. All right. And I'm sure Jill will remind us again if we don't show up here.
Do you want to be that board member?
I have. I think there was one time there were two of us, maybe Marika and I both showed up here and were like, oh no, we're supposed to be over there.
All done.
Oh, so if you're coming from downtown, it's easy to underestimate. Like, it takes a little bit longer to get over to Douglas from this area.
Yeah. It just depends on where you're coming from.
I know. Not used to have to, like, set that much time aside.
That's
from
right.
Where I'm coming.
You're right.
From downtown. So it's usually a 5-minute drive.
All right. Okay. Next, we'll just need a motion to adjourn.
So
second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.